Hi, hunters. Thank you for tuning into the Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast brought to you by Nick and Tyler, the boys from Ringnecks and Retrievers. In this podcast, we will talk about guns, dogs, gear, and our successes and failures in the field through our combined 40 years of experience. We speak with hunters just like you from across the nation about their days in the field and the many memories they built with their friends and family. We are excited to have you listen. Now let's get to flushing and dusting.
All right, welcome back, hunters, to the Flush 'Em and Dust 'Em podcast. We're excited to have you guys and girls back listening to our special guest today. We got Jay from Rye Glen Gun Dogs. Tia runs English Cocker Spaniels. So we're excited to bring him on, talk about his kennel, talk about the dogs that he trains and hunts with, and his passion for uplands, and just some good stories that he has. So Jay, we'll let you take it from here. If you want to give us some background of you and your kennel, and we'll go from there. Right?
Sounds good. Like I said, I own and own and run Rye Glen Gun Dogs. We exclusively train and raise English Cockers, all UK-based dogs. So all of our breeding dogs come straight from England. A little bit of about me is in 2003 is when I really got into dogs and training. I actually trained dogs and raised a few litters of puppies for Wild Rose Kennels in Oxford, Mississippi. I did that for about 10 years. And then on a trip with Mike Stewart from Wild Rose, I was actually introduced to Cockers for the first time. Prior to that, there was no other dog in the world to me than a lab. One of hunting with changed my life forever. So that was February of 2013. Full disclosure, when we were going, a friend of ours had arranged for us to rabbit hunt with Cockers. The morning we were going, I was thinking, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But growl and bite you and sits on the couch. And a rabbit hunt with one was ridiculous. We went, our friend that arranged for us to hunt, we went with a man named Ian Openshaw. And if anybody knows anything about Cockers, really anywhere in the world, Ian's kind of the god of all things Cockers. So I got a great introduction with great dogs. And by noon that day, I said, screw labs. I've got to have some of these guys. So Ian helps me out. Yeah, go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, Jay, but what was it about the Cocker Spaniel that really just pulled you away from the lab and you just said, hey, this is the dog for me? What was that?
Just to watch one work. I often tell people that have never seen one work or new to them, if you don't have a smile on your face when a Cocker's in the field working, you have no soul and you don't love dogs, because loves its job more than a Cocker does. And to see, you know, our biggest male that we own weighs 31 pounds. Most of our girls, you know, 24, 25 pounds. We have some girls that weigh 20 pounds. And to see a little bitty dog like that bring a big cock pheasant, or, you know, when we're in the Dakotas, sometimes I'll shoot some jackrabbits. And to see a dog like that bring a jackrabbit back and it's dragging on both sides, it's awesome.
That is cool.
And
is that normal? That's small? I guess I'm not aware of how big they are, honestly.
Like I said, one of our males weighs 26 pounds, and he's one of our main stud dogs that we've got right now. So it's about the average size for the dogs that are coming over from the UK. The American English Cockers have gotten a little bit bigger than that. The authentic stuff, pretty small. Small dogs. But anyway, so in June of 2013 is when I actually imported my first dog from England, a little dog by the name of Cassie. And like I said, I was always a lab guy. I always go to North Dakota to pheasant hunt with lab guys. And when I pulled Cassie off the trailer for the first time in North Dakota, everybody laughed just like I did when I first saw him. Just like me, by noon that day, no one was laughing at me because the dog had outworked all the labs.
That's crazy.
And she was a special dog in that, I mean, she was the only Cocker I had that year with me. Yeah. And she would work 7 hours a day in the field nonstop. And yeah, she was intense. So that's where it all started. Yeah, is with that. That was 2013. Fast forward the clock to January of 2017. I had one stud dog, two or three females, and was everything was great. I then manager, her name is Buffy, that works for me full time. We're now up to three stud dogs, 12 females, and so that means we're having 12 litters of puppies a year, and we could probably have puppies a year and still be sold out. In fact, I just before we got on here, I was working on our 2022 breeding schedule because that's where I'm already at. Deposits and stuff.
So you guys have deposits for all of next year already.
Yeah.
And how big of litters are we talking per dog on average?
We average 4 to 5. We only take 4 deposits per litter.
Okay.
Just because I don't want to be this guy that's taking 10 deposits and knowing that I'm going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah.
I want to be realistic about it. Right.
Yeah, for sure. So do you guys do training with the Cocker Spaniels before sending them home? Is that an option for people that come to you guys, or how does that work?
I do train a little bit. For more full disclosure for me, is I'm actually a full-time dentist is my real job.
Oh. Just got my teeth cleaned last week.
All right. Train maybe 4 to 5 dogs a year. I don't train a lot of dogs. Just again, I want to over deliver on something as opposed to under deliver on something.
And Jay, forgive me if you said this, but where are you located at?
We are in Brownstown, Illinois. It's a little
Not far from
us. We're about an hour east of St. Louis, right on Interstate 70.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So nice. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, and then Tyler's in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yeah.
Not far at all.
But no, the Cockers are, I mean, they're gaining popularity rapidly. I just happened, you know, I was in the right place at the right time to get started. Really. Yeah. I mean, it's no grand plan. It's something I love to do, and a dog that I found that I loved. So here we are.
Hey, that's what it's all about. You know, when you're hunting, so I have no experience with any Cocker Spaniel at all. When you're hunting with them, are they a rangy dog? They stay pretty close.
No.
They point.
Right.
They point, right?
No, they flush. They flush and retrieve. Yep. So all my dogs will probably be within 15 to 20 yards of me all the time.
Nice.
So how I hunt is I'll have 3 dogs out on a walk. 2 will be at heel with me. 1 will be out front working. Let them work for 10 or 15 minutes and then switch dogs, just so that way I always have a fresh dog working all the time.
That is awesome.
That's crazy. You can keep that heel in the field like that. That is
amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of work.
It is, but you know, it's like with you guys though. I mean, if it's something you love to do, it's not work. It's just your passion.
You're absolutely right.
So it's just something we love to do. And like I said, we've been doing it for a few years and things have gone well. We've just had, and we've had the right clientele, you know, to help us along the way. too. So that's huge.
So my Absolutely. One of my buddies hunted with I think it was might have been a Boykin Cocker Spaniel. I don't know if there's a big difference between a Boykin and an English. But he mentioned when they were in the field hunting, and maybe this comes into where the rabbit hunting is, but it would, when it was on a pheasant scent, it actually like give out some yips as it was on a track. I don't know if you've experienced that, but
that would be highly I would not like that. I don't want a beagle.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it sounds like a beagle, because I had a beagle growing up when I was super young, and that's what he would do when he was chasing a rabbit. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. But I didn't know if that was something that all Cocker Spaniels did, or if it was
in a Boykin and a Cocker are two totally different breeds. A Boykin is a Spaniel that was originated in South Carolina, so it's kind of an American Spaniel. Where Cockers, obviously they came from the UK. They were originally used for woodcock is what they were originally used for.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's the process to get a dog from the UK? Like, that's what I've been thinking the whole time. It's going to be a lot of paperwork.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a process. For one, I mean, we're 8 flight hours away from them. So you have to have boots on the ground there of people that you know can get you quality. Because if somebody sends you a turd from the UK, there's really no sending it back. So you need to make sure you're getting quality. You have to have customs brokers in place. You have to have shippers in place. All kinds of stuff. Once you know the process, it's just another.
You just drive to O'Hare then and pick it up, or.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
They come in on cargo planes, so you just go to the cargo area and, like I said, you have to have a customs broker to get them through customs.
Yep.
But coming in from the UK is simpler than it is a lot of countries, because the UK is rabies free. So like when they're coming into the United States, they don't have to have a rabies shot or proof of rabies vaccination. So that simplifies it a little bit for us. Yeah. I mean, it's a process. I mean, it's a huge learning curve in the beginning, but we've got it down now.
Nice. So all of your males and all your females have come from the UK?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
that is crazy. Yep.
Over the years, we've probably imported, I'll say, close to 20 dogs.
Really?
Over the last 6 or 7 years, yeah.
So do you kind of go through the same breeder over there to get yours, or
a lot of times? Yeah, a lot. Not the same breeder, but we just have somebody that helps us source the dogs that's familiar with the breed and the trialing world and that sort of thing. And then we, you know, check things out. If the pedigrees look like they're going to be something that work for us and that sort of thing, then we go with it.
So what kind of trials are you hopping into with these dogs? Are you doing like Huntington Retriever Club?
Oh, okay, I don't trial at all. No, I've got enough on my plate to not, I don't need to play that game. And not that I have anything against, I don't have anything against that. I got enough going on.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't need that.
I don't blame you.
But it's an interesting, I mean, like for example, the first dog I got from over there was Cassie. The second dog I got, was our first stud dog named Zach. Third dog I got, I wake up one morning, the guys in the UK are burning up my phone. Call me. So I call them. I'm like, what's going on? We've got a dog we think you need to get. And I'm like, okay, tell me about her. She's a field trial champion. She'll make a good mama dog for you. And oh yeah, out of her last litter of puppies, we gave a puppy to the Queen of England.
Whoa.
And I'm like, okay, let's get Pop over here. So,
holy
we
crap.
Imported her, and she kind of helped. I mean, notoriety wise, when you've got a dog that's produced a puppy for the Queen, that helps a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then, So that was one of our first big time dogs that we got. The next big time dog that we got was a stud dog that we have named Gus. His claim to fame for us was the last bitch he bred before coming here was that puppy of the Queen's. So he bred the Queen's bitch. Gus has been with us for 2 or 3 years. And he actually, we just sent Gus back to England. His puppies were doing so incredibly well on the trial scene over there that they requested him back for a year. So in exchange, they sent us a dog by the name of Malladale X Factor. And anybody in the Cocker world knows X Factor. He was the 2015 Cocker Championship winner from England. So he's kind of a big time dog that we've got right now.
Holy cow.
You got like the top of the line dog.
You're breeding rocket fuel over there.
Yeah. And the last dog, a bitch that we just bred last week that we got at the same time as we got X Factor. She won the Irish Cocker Championship last year in 2019, I'm sorry, and placed second in the British Cocker Championship in 2020. And I actually got to go over, I owned her at that time, and I got to go over and watch her in January in the British Championship. So I got to see her perform. So that's kind of a cool deal to see my own dog over there.
Yeah. What do they do for like the British Championship? What's that entail?
It's the cool thing about most UK field trials, Labrador, Spaniel, whatever, it's just a day of hunting. So there's no planted birds. They have them typically on these huge estates. So, I mean, it's just typically they're shooting pheasants, rabbits, maybe the occasional woodcock or snipe. And it's any man's game. A lot of times, as I understand it, and I'm not a trial person, so if you're a trial person, don't get upset with me. There's kind of a similar setup you're going to go through with every trial over here. Every dog's going to go through the same thing. Yes. Over there, your dog may get 6 flushes in 50 yards. They may get 1 flush in 300 yards. You just don't know what you're going to get. There's no planted birds.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a true hunting scenario. And like what you were saying a while ago about the dog that was yipping, if a dog makes any noise whatsoever in a field trial in the UK, again, Labrador, Spaniel, they're immediately told to put a leash on the dog and take the dog away. That's not allowed.
Is that a thing that's probably a sign of aggression, I'm assuming?
It's just you don't want a noisy dog.
Oh.
nobody wants – I don't want to – I'm going to sit in a duck blind. I don't want to hear a dog whining and crying.
Nope. That's not true. I agree with you as
100%
well.
There.
So they just don't – they do a really good job of not breeding that kind of dog. We're over here, and I jokingly, but at the same time, I'm kind of serious about this.
You can be serious. Americans, that's
what it's
all about.
Americans can screw up a breed of dog faster than any other population.
100% agree. Yeah. 100% agree.
It's kind of sad to see what we've done. That's kind of our backstory, our claims to fame, the
neatest
and most thing interesting I've ever heard.
That is crazy.
I was reading
your guys' bio, and it said, you know, you guys said that you imported the dogs. I'm like, how do they? This has got to be. I couldn't wait to hear this story. It is just absolutely crazy.
Sometime we're gonna have to come over.
And there's actually people. Yeah, you need to come down here.
We're gonna come over there and watch your dogs kick our dog's ass.
Yeah. No kidding. Jesus. I don't even want to put mine in the field next to you. I'll be like next to Miss Queen over here. And my dog's just, you know, holy smokes. That is crazy. Yeah,
that is awesome.
And honestly, I mean, so much of my dogs and what we are at Reichland has zero to do with me and 100% to do with the people in the UK that have helped me. I mean, it is, I've just been blessed beyond my wildest dreams of what. I'm just a kid from Southern Illinois that loved dogs. And it's like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, how the hell did this just happen to me?
Yeah. And here you are. Here you are 7 years later and 8 years later. Yeah. And you got a kennel and they're sold out to 2022, and the Queen's calling you to get another dog up there.
Man, that is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
It's awesome how you guys are breeding, like you're not taking away from anything, you know, from what they're bred to do, where they're bred from.
Right.
It's legit, not changing anything. That is just so awesome.
I'm just like super excited about this whole process. Like, it's crazy to me that you got into this just because you loved them, and now it's this huge thing, and you're getting these dogs that are, I mean, purebreds, like purebreds. They're not just, you know, there's no snippets in the line or the DNA. These guys are true Cocker Spaniels, which is, I mean, that's amazing because that, you know, like you said, over in America, sometimes you're like, well, I don't know. You know, what am I getting?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. And there's turds in every bunch. I mean, you guys know dogs. We try our best. I mean, we've had dogs that we've got in that we've had for a while. We're like, no, you don't meet our standards. And we just sell them. We get rid of them. They're not to our breeding standard of what we want our dogs to be known for and act like.
Yeah, that's really nice.
You know, you get bad ones every now and then, but it's okay. It's all part of the game.
That's really nice to know. Well, so now I got a question for you. We're going
to
jump back
past
7 years. We're going to go back 10 years. Give us your favorite lab hunting story.
He forgot him.
Did you forget him, or do you have one? Do you have one?
Oh, I've got lots. Probably one of the best. You know, the very first dog I ever trained was probably one of the best dogs I've ever had. A black lab named Duke. And Duke had lots of cool stories. And you know, when you're only training one dog, and you have no children, it's like you can pour enormous amount of time into that dog.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And Duke was one of those dogs that I could learn on. You know, you could make mistakes and he was forgiving. It wouldn't punish you and go on. But we were shooting Canadas one day over a little farm pond. And I'd sent Duke across the pond to get a goose. He was on his way back. And here come a bunch of speckle bellies, you know, turning upside down. Trying to get in real hard. Mm-hmm. I blew the sit whistle. He laid down on the ground with that goose in his mouth. The speckle bellies came right over the top of him, shot the speckle bellies. He finished the retrieve with a Canada, went back and got the speckle bellies.
Nice.
That is awesome.
So, and then another time, one more story about him. I was, we have a duck hunting club here. Just got in from duck hunting one morning and got into the clubhouse and I said, hey, the game warden just called looking for you. For me, I'm like, I did nothing wrong. And he's a friend of mine. So I called him. I said, hey, what's going on? He said, somebody has shot a trumpeter swan down on some of the state property. He's in deep water. We need you to come get it. It's not dead. So I got to take Duke to the state property, which is open to hunting, pick up a trumpeter, one of the only dogs probably in America that's got to legally pick up a trumpeter swan and bring it back to me. It was still alive. But that was a cool Duke story too.
That's awesome.
It is pretty cool.
Fun stuff. He was a good boy.
All right. Now to the real deal. Let's go to these cockers. Let's hear some of these hunting stories.
Yeah, I can't wait. These guys sound awesome.
Are they waterfowl at all? Say again.
Are your Cocker Spaniels, do they waterfowl at all? I know with being in Illinois,
I have people call and want to do that. And my advice is always if you're a hardcore waterfowl hunter, get a lab.
Yeah.
These little dogs were not. I mean, they could do it. You know, if you live in Georgia and you want to shoot some wood ducks, absolutely they can do it. If you break ice in Illinois or Iowa picking up mallards, a Cocker Spaniel's not your dog. You need a lab that was made for that.
Yep.
And again, I mean, there's a typical American, you know, we have pointing labs and we have cockers that are duck hunting. Well, that's silly. Let's just stick with what the dogs were made to do. Let them do their job well.
Yep. I have a big lab. So Diesel just went to the vet today. He's pretty lean. He's 87 pounds.
Shut up.
No, if you look at our Instagram page, he's sitting next to Tyler's two dogs, and he's got this head that is just massive. He's a big, he's a big boy.
He is.
But he's like, he's kind of like LeBron James. Like he's big, but he can run all day. Like, I don't know.
Really?
He's in good shape. Yeah, he's in good shape.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. But no, the Cockers, it's always fun to see a Cocker, outdo the Labs.
No, that's what we want to hear. People want to hear this. People want to hear this, Jay.
Like Cassie, that little dog that I talked about earlier, she was notorious for if a bird was on the ground, she was going to be the one to get it. And I've watched her. I watched the Labs get there first, but I've also watched her go up, take the bird out of the Lab's mouth and bring it back to me. She was pretty bad. I've seen them, seen pheasants getting a culvert under a road.
Yep.
And my dogs are small enough to get under the culvert to get them. It's just, man, there's just nothing like it. I don't know how to describe it until you see these little dogs work. They're like, one of my friends described them as the Sammy Davis Jr. of hunting dogs. I mean, they're the hardest working little dogs you'll ever see in your life.
That is awesome.
And they absolutely, they will kill themselves for you. If your relationship with them is right, they'll kill themselves for you. If it's not right, they will do nothing for you. They will truly punish you. If they view the relationship as not, if they view they've been punished or mistreated in some way by you, mm-hmm. I've seen them just walk by. They'll just get behind me and walk like, screw you. You don't want to treat me fair. You go do it yourself.
So in terms of looking at training those dogs, so like Diesel, he's an alpha. It had to be pretty tough on him to get him to do what I wanted to do. And his confidence is basically unbreakable. Is a Cocker now? I'm assuming they're not like that from what you just said.
No. I mean, you'll get them that are tough. But like Duke, that Lab I was describing to you before, and I say this figuratively, so in case some PETA person's on here, I mean, I could beat him with a baseball bat and he would stand up and look at me like, bring it, let's do it again.
That's how Diesel used to be.
One of these Cockers.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I figured Diesel was like. The great thing about a Cocker though, is you don't have to do that. I mean, a lot of times my voice alone will do it, or just picking them up and shaking them by the scruff will do it. It's truly training. I mean, and I mean that respectfully.
Yeah.
They are steps ahead of me in the training process. They're thinking things through that you can't force. I can force a Lab to do something. I can make them do it. Cocker, there is no forcing that's going to take place at all, because they'll just shut down. But if your relationship is right, if they believe in you and you believe in them, and you're truly the leader in the relationship, man, they'll do anything in the world for you. It's upped my training game immensely, training these dogs.
Sounds like me hunting with Tyler. When I get hard on him, when he misses a bird, he never hits one the rest of the day.
No. We always got to bring up the misses, don't we? Always got to bring up the misses. It's always me missing.
Yeah, I don't know, Jay. I've never missed a bird in my life.
Oh, you didn't know this.
Yeah, me neither.
Not one that we're going to tell about, right?
Everybody knows my famous one. Yeah. We were in South Dakota a few years, Jay, and this has been on some of our other podcasts, but we weren't having a very good time out there, so I'm kind of like, all right, let's get going. Let's get this going. And Tyler, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he was just taking forever. And I'm like, dude, let's go. Come on. Let's get this field run and get done. Well, at this time, we only had one bird, and we were out in South Dakota for 3 days. And we're going to be out there, I think, for four. So this is our third day. We come out to the field, and we're getting ready, and I can see Diesel is on a bird, and he's going to kick it up. And I'm just like, I'm salivating. I'm ready. Pops up. Rooster, probably, I don't know, 20 yards in front of me. I pull up. Forgot to load my gun.
Painful.
Yeah. We left that day to come home. Just I was pretty irritated.
It's like putting salt on the wound. Oh, man. That was horrible.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And Tyler's looking at me. He's like, dude, what are you doing? I said, well, I didn't load my gun. And I just basically turned around and went back to the truck. I was like, I'm done.
That's funny.
Can you kind of like the Cockers, when they're working in the grass, they're small.
Mm-hmm.
Are they hard to – you said they work pretty close, so I'd imagine they're not too hard to follow. Do they zigzag back and forth pretty well, or how do they work?
Right. They're gonna quarter in front of me. Probably, like I said, there'll be 15 yards out in front and probably 15 yards each side. Okay. But, I mean, there's lots of times in tall prairie grass, I'm not watching the dog. I'm watching the grass move.
Okay.
Literally. I mean, I'm watching where my dog's at with the grass move.
Do you have a bell on them or anything? Or?
No. No bells, no collars, nothing. They're naked, awesome. So to speak.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Never had a with the exception of pointing dogs that I've got a Brittany, and I've had some short hairs and stuff in the past. Never ran a collar on any dog I've ever had, a knee collar, that is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So just all natural. Yep.
Good for you.
That is awesome. Well, that takes a lot of work.
There's times that's good for me, and there's times that's not good for me, but that's how I do it. But no, it's and you can tell, I mean, like it with anybody, if you know your dog well enough and you watch your dog, like you just said with Diesel, you could tell that day he was on a bird.
Yep.
I mean, I know when something's getting ready to happen. And that's the frustrating part of hunting with people sometimes that aren't used to dogs. I mean, they're looking at the horizon, they're looking all over the place. I'm like, just watch my dog.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you have to watch right now is just watch that dog, and the birds are going to come from that dog. But inevitably, they're looking over to the right at the tree or whatever, and birds fly, and you know, they're lost. But it's just that's just anybody that hunts. You gotta learn to watch your dog and do things with your dog.
Yeah, Tyler and I are starting to learn each other's dogs now. We've hunted so well together that we can tell. Like, I can start telling when his dog's running one. He can tell when Diesel's on one. So that's nice because they actually work.
Yeah,
they work really well together, crossing over back in front of each other. And we went to a preserve, and we do that quite often when we're getting ready for hunting season. We'll do that two or three times together. Just get the dogs warmed up, get them running, get them on some birds. We went out. We bought 12 birds last Saturday.
Yep.
Got 13. So
nice. Yeah. That's good odds there, man.
Yeah. So dogs were working well. And the guy told us, and for the life of me, you know, I know it's not a hard hunt when I do these preserve hunts. And I'm not saying that we have like really great dogs. I mean, we think we do, but you know, to the standard, is it? I don't know. But he said nobody there has gotten, he said he's had groups come to his preserve and get zero birds. I'm like, what? How does that, like, how does that happen?
I don't know how that happens.
Like, I was flabbergasted. I was like, seriously? He's like, oh yeah, several groups have come and never got a bird yet. I was like, what?
Wow.
I'd be pretty disappointed if Diesel or Tyler's dog. I would too. I'd be like, maybe you're not putting them out there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's bad. That's real bad. And something you just said, you know, to the standard or whatever. Do you know who Delmer Smith is?
I don't.
You guys know that name? He's an old, he's in his mid to late 90s now. He's in the Bird Dog Hall of Fame. He trained pointing dogs. And I ran into him at the Bird Dog Hall of Fame one time, and it was truly an honor to meet the guy. And I was getting ready to get a Brittany, which is what he always ran. And I was telling him about it, and he stopped me and said, you know what the greatest dog in the world is? And I mean, at this point, I'm ready to pull out a notebook and a pen and a paper and start writing crap down. He said, the dog that does what you want and expect it to do, that's the greatest dog in the world. And I thought,
that's awesome.
You know, sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves of what a dog has to be or the standard it has to be to. But if that dog's doing what we want, that's the best dog in the world. You shouldn't judge your dog by what somebody else's dog does.
I love that.
That's very cool.
But yeah. The greatest bird dog trainer, one of the greatest of all time, says something
have to
like
check
that.
Him out.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I wrote that down.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I don't think you've told us your favorite story about your Cocker Spaniels. You got to give us a couple of those. Some of your favorite hunting stories with them.
Favorite hunting stories. I mean, there's always the you know, again, they're little bitty dogs. I've had a few dogs that with time, as they would flush and they were in tall grass, they'd learn to stand up like a meerkat on their back legs and watch the bird flush so it could be shot.
That is cool.
There's the Mike Stewart, like I mentioned, from Wild Rose Kennels. I don't know if people know who he is or not, but big time UK lab guy. He and I are very good friends, but the first time one of my dogs found a cripple that his dogs couldn't find was big time pride for me. Just because Mike is, like I said, he's a mentor of mine, but it's like, bam, I got you.
Rub it in.
That's right. The little dogs win again. But no, I mean, it's cool. I just got a picture today from a client that was elk hunting, had his dog with him, a cocker, had his dog with him on an elk hunt and shot a huge 6x6 bull. And his cocker afterwards is sitting on top of the bull. So that's on our Instagram right now.
That's awesome.
But no, I mean, I don't know that I have a favorite story about them. It's just, they're all so different. I mean, it's just the joy of being out with these dogs.
Do you primarily pheasant hunt? Or are you going quail? What are you going after?
I'll go to North Dakota in a couple weeks for a week or 10 days to pheasant hunt up there. But then in February, I always go down to South Georgia and quail hunt with them. So we do a little bit of everything around here. Around here, we just don't have a lot of wild birds, period.
Yeah.
I'll do some preserve hunting around here. There's a lot of clients that I've got from Michigan that are shooting rough grouse with them. They would be death on woodcocks, just because woodcock sits so tight. They'd be death on a woodcock. I mean, we've got clients all over the US and Canada using these dogs for different things.
Nice.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing about us that's a little bit different is, like, we sell dogs, like I just said, to the US and Canada. I have never shipped a puppy anywhere. I refuse to ship puppies. So if you want a puppy from us, you're required to come to us on the day we say to come to us, and you get your dog then.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And in pre-COVID, we actually did like a big, like, we'd have supper for everybody, all of our clients at the kennel on Friday night. Saturday morning, we'd do like an hour and a half or 2 hour puppy class for them.
Nice.
And then we'd actually do actual puppy picking after that. So that way it made it, you know, when you're coming from California, it sucks to drive to get here, fly here, spend an hour with us and say, okay, now get back on the plane and leave. So that way it made it an experience for families when they came to get their dogs and stuff.
Oh, that's really
very
cool.
That is unique. I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Nice.
Sounds like you guys have a great setup there, Jay. We'll have to keep you in mind.
We are very, very fortunate.
Maybe we'll have to grab a hunt with you one of these days.
Yeah, you guys need a road trip to Illinois.
It's not too far.
Come down and see us.
You know what?
Yeah.
That might be another podcast. We'll take a tour of the kennels.
Yeah, do it. We can do a podcast at the kennel.
That's right.
You can see all the dogs.
Hunter's happy hour.
See all the dogs. So.
Yep.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
We'll bring the good old bourbon from Cedar Ridge.
There we go.
The Iowa bourbon.
There we go.
But
well, Jay, we want to seriously thank you for your time. We don't want to keep you any longer, but the information you shared with us about your kennel, I think that's great. We actually had some people reach out to us recently and wanting to know about different types of dogs that they might want. They didn't know if they wanted a retriever or a GSP or a poodle pointer or whatever it might be. We'll definitely throw your name out there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
So much.
Yeah. Look forward to talking to you guys again, hopefully.
Yes, for sure.
Jay, you and your family have a great night. Thank you very much. And
you too.
Talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.